everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpinito, and I am joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Cepeda.
Peel your peaches, people. Peel your peaches.
And Colin Sparling.
We're not going to have the Kiwi conversation again.
Let's have a talk about kiwis and peaches.
Nope.
Just for a minute.
By the way, guys, when I say peel your peaches, what I actually mean is, why are you peeling your peaches? That's such a, to me, that's a weird thing. I am a firmly on the side, skin on peach kind of guy. I'm a skin peach eating man.
Okay, I just need to say I'm really excited about this because I know Jack, Colin, and I have had this discussion, frankly, too many times, and Daily has the most confused look on her face, and we're about to dive in.
Yeah.
Listen, all I'm saying is you shouldn't peel a fruit unless you really have to. It's like a citrus or something like that. Because
unless you really have to. What is your definition of have to?
Like an orange. Like
a rind.
You don't have to peel an orange. No one's got a gun to your head saying you have to peel the orange.
It's really hard. You can't even hardly chew. I don't even think you could chew. I mean, it would be really bitter. It would be gross if you ate the skin of an orange.
No, don't do that. Don't give any ideas up there.
You don't want to do that.
Same thing about kiwi skin and peach skin. It's gross.
Here's the thing. I think kiwi skin, which Colin, by the way, this has been documented. He's a fan of the peach skin. He was raised that way. Don't blame him. But he eats, it's really hard and like really grimy and gritty. And it really,
you're talking about kiwi, not
kiwis,
peach.
Yeah. And it changes the profile of the fruit completely. To me, a peach is very thin. It's almost no flavor at all. It is a lot of fiber, but it doesn't like drastically alter the experience of biting down on a peach. So that's why I've always eaten peach skin my entire life. I've never peeled a peach.
Well, that's just it. Because a lot of those fruits, you want to eat with the skin on because it's a source of fiber. Otherwise, you're just taking in a shit ton of it's sugar. It's a lot of natural sugar.
I don't think I've ever met anyone in my life that eats kiwi skin, though. I think you're the only one.
I mean, I don't know, man. That's just how I was raised.
Oh, man.
I haven't stopped. That's just how it goes.
Do you guys know
it really doesn't taste all that bad. What?
Do you guys know anyone else, Robert Daly, that eats kiwi skin?
No, I only know Colin who does that.
No.
Colin, come on,
no
man.
No one.
I don't know. Then my mom was raised weird, so I was raised weird.
Have you tried kiwi without the skin, though, because it's so good?
So wait, do you take the skin off nectarines, too, Daly?
Nectarine? Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't do that.
It's a non-fuzzy peach.
Anything that has a skin on it.
What about apples or grapes?
Take it off to. Well, I guess I do eat apple skin because I'll just eat. I'm not going to peel
an apple.
You madman!
I know. Right?
Well, you're. Yeah, but like, I don't see the point. Why would you need to peel a nectarine?
Yeah,
like,
to me,
there's
it's
no
like
fuzz on it.
It goes in the apple category again, where it doesn't affect it so negatively, and it's barely there.
We opened up a can of worms, folks.
Yes.
I can't remember last time I had a nectarine, though.
Skin on or
and I'm
off.
I'm struggling.
Yeah, me too.
I don't remember.
It's been a minute. Yeah. I will say, though, seeing Haruka and Pepe peel that peach, I was a little disappointed.
I support their decision. I like peeled peaches. I like peeled kiwis.
I think I can see the argument, though, for a drink. Because they put it in a drink.
Okay, but then you're opening another can of worms here, Colin, because old fashions are literally just orange skin in it.
And how many drinks have like the lemon wheel or the lime wheel in it? Skin, dude. Citrus, you keep the skin on drink.
Wait, okay. So orange zest and lemon zest, that's all a thing. You don't want to put a skin on peach in your drink with the peach fuzz on there. The fuzz is just going to hang there at the top of your drink.
That would be pretty weird to have film of fuzz in your drink.
You kind
of
muddle it.
Get it on your tongue.
You muddle it at the bottom.
Talking about so many different things. Like if you're talking sangria, you put in just like the orange slices and the peach slices in there, no skin. But if you're making a whiskey cocktail with a little bit of zest on it, with a little bit of rind on it, it's just the rind.
Some Angostura bitters.
That's a liquid. Not really
I'm saying
a fruit.
You want that profile, that sour profile is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's anyway. A sour, sweet, tangy drink.
We're talking about fruit.
Don't peel your peaches, people. I'm putting this out there. That's my
yes,
whole...
Yes, okay, I'm with Jack wholeheartedly on this one.
So, okay, good. I'm against that. Anyway, with today's episode of Tadaima, we're going to talk about Terrace House Tokyo 2019-2020. Episode 16, Orange Flavor First Kiss. It's all going to come full circle, we promise. We've already published our live reaction to the episode. You might have heard it on Tuesday. If you haven't, go check it out. You can watch the show with us, and it's a fun time. We got a few exciting reactions throughout the episode, some might mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm. But let's just start diving into it. We've had some time to digest, and it's marinated inside of us, and now we're about to regurgitate it, much like I would regurgitate kiwi skin if I ate it.
This is all so delicious sounding.
This such a... vivid choice of words.
Thanks, Robert.
We open with the panel where they're recapping a lot of last episode of episode 15. You know, we had Cardi's art exhibit, we had Ruka failing to do his combat training, Avian and Yusuke got to talk together, we got to meet our two new house members, Emika and Pepe, and the panel, much like me, seems to be taken by Pepe. They praise a lot of his conversational dexterity, I think is how they phrased it.
Is it already that time of the week where I have to say a controversial statement?
You might have already with the peach thing. So this would be controversial too.
I mean, we already ripped this bad boy open. Might as well.
I'm gonna say something fucking.
Let's go.
Some shit here. Okay, I got some shit to say. I'm a Terrace House shit talker. Hashtag. Pepe is great. He hasn't done anything himself that for me to dislike him, but. Maybe this is a character flaw with me. Maybe I'm the problem here. But when I see someone getting so much universal praise, it makes me distrust them. And it makes me look for that one weakness. Like, why is this person so charming? There's something underlying here that we don't know yet. So he hasn't done anything himself, but all the love he's getting universally from the internet, from this show, from everybody is making me skeptical. I'm just stroking my chin here. And I'm just looking, squinting my eyes like, at Pepe, I don't know.
Jess,
so
go ahead, Dylan.
Just to understand your thought process here. Mm-hmm. It's like everyone's like, Pepe's great. Like in the live react, I remember saying like, oh, he's just like a really genuine person. He doesn't seem like he's in it for the fame. You know, we'll get to it. But like his motivations for like writing manga are really pure. And you're just sitting here like, I bet he stabbed a man.
Something. I'm just wondering, like, something's going to come out of here. Because it's just too good right now. We are in that honeymoon phase, right? And he's already getting compared to Han-san already. Pepe's so good, he's making Robert get more in touch with his long-lost Italian side of his heritage, which just started bringing up for the first time in 3 years last week.
That's true facts.
It's like, something's going on here. We'll see. I'm a Pepe skeptic. Is all I'm saying.
Why weren't you skeptical of Han-san?
Well, we weren't podcasting when I watched that for the first time, so I wasn't aware of all the universal praise. It was just like a very personal thing for me the first time. So I already
internally
had all those,
you were like, yeah. I bet he stabbed a man.
No, internally I was like, I love this guy, but it's not Pepe. Like I said, it's everything around him that's making me skeptical. I'm just not ready to hop on the Pepe bandwagon yet. That's all I'm saying.
I will say though, with Han-san, we had Wabi Sabi, the smoking.
Yeah. He was slightly imperfect and it made him more perfect. Right. I got to say, Jack, do you know you're on a Terrace House podcast? And
I'm
not
aware. I read the comments.
Not a Game of Thrones podcast. We're going to suspect everyone.
He's too good.
We'll see,
Cersei's going to stab him in the next episode.
We'll see, guys. I'm just saying, Pepe, watch out. I got my eyes on you.
Okay, to be fair, I see where Jack's coming from. We've been singing Pepe's praises since he's been in the house. We really don't know him all that well yet. And it's one of those things where you put someone on such a high pedestal that even the smallest incident is going to bring him down quite a few notches.
I'm not rooting against him yet. I'm just saying I'm a skeptic.
Pepe he's very good so far, and I have not a single qualm with him. And that's just what I'm afraid of, is like we're setting ourselves up to where, you know, if something does happen where he gets put in a tough spot or he does, you know, I don't know, get in a bad relationship with someone in the house, then it's just going to make it that much worse.
Well, we'll see. I'm a pure speculation here, and I don't even, I wish well for the guy. I'm just saying, you know, I don't want to sound break a record. It's just all, everything happening around him, nothing he's doing. So trying to be fair to the guy.
All I'm saying is, even if he gets into some controversy, I'd be excited to see that, because right now I'm in that honeymoon phase where it's like, cool, this is a new member. I like him a lot. He's great. But if he's just this same person 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks from now, it's kind of like, cool, he's still that same cool guy, but nothing's happening. He's not evolving. Then he'll become like Armand until like the last few episodes of BGITC.
Infinitely more interesting if he has drama, I think. So yeah. Hansan would kind of steer clear of the drama. He was the mediator. You know, I want to see Pepe get all up in there with the drama. I want to see his Italian sensibilities coming out. Mm.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, Hansan wasn't doing much. And I mean, he was doling out advice and he was focusing on his work, but he left before, like, he definitely didn't overstay his welcome either. Like, he left before we even had a chance to, I guess, even get tired of him.
Yeah. We haven't even gotten past the intro of the show, though. We got a lot.
We really haven't. So we've got to trek on. Well, trust me, we'll have more than enough opportunity to talk about Pepe in this episode. He's in this episode a lot. Yeah. So we're in the first floor. Emika's downstairs, and Pepe comes out looking fly as hell with his almost all white getup and the clear lens glasses, or clear frame glasses. Of course, the lenses are clear. And he tries to make espresso.
He fails at the espresso.
Make espresso, yeah. But he can't because the induction burner doesn't get hot enough, I think, is what that is.
Weird.
I don't know. I live in Seattle, and I don't even know this shit.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I like gas stoves more, but yeah, I never really
thought.
Heat
is heat. Science and chemistry. I don't know, though.
Yeah, you baristas out there, send us an email. Let us know.
Yeah, what the hell? Why can't he make the man's espresso? Why is that stove not good? He has to go to the convenience store.
I swear I've used a percolator on an induction heating, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's different in Japan. I don't know.
And maybe he turned the heat wrong. Maybe he put it on low instead of high. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But either way, he makes do with his day and he rides off to work. And we get to see the scene that we always see when we get a new character, a new person. We get that work montage kind of scene, right? So he's at the studio. He's working with Keiko Nishi. He's being her assistant and coloring in different things. You see him ask questions like, oh, what shading should we use for this? It's kind of a neat moment, I think.
Absolutely. No, I think it's one of my favorite work scene so far, because I've never actually seen how a mangaka works like that. I had no idea, like, there was all this, you know, you like cutting and pasting, and he was doing all this stuff where he was using like some sort of cutter where he was stenciling stuff in. I don't know, all that stuff was just very interesting and kind of cathartic to watch. Very satisfying.
Oddly satisfying. Yeah.
And in this scene, we get kind of a setup moment where Keiko asks him, why do you want to be a mangaka? Which feels very like she knows, like, he's her apprentice by now. She should know. And they're definitely just doing this for the camera.
For the camera.
But he, I don't know, it's a pretty wholesome reason, right? He's like, I just want to make people laugh. And manga is one of the art forms I fell in love with as a young kid. And I just stuck with it and decided to start making manga that makes people laugh.
Made Shohei laugh.
A pure-hearted boy.
So too wholesome. Pure. He's too wholesome.
Well, there
too
is wholesome. Full
frontal. He must have stabbed a man.
There is full frontal nudity in his manga. He's not that wholesome.
It's true. It's true. It's tame, though. It's not like sexual yet.
Yeah, we saw manga pubis, though, this episode. If you're for the people looking closely.
True. We cut to the first floor with Pepe, Shohei, and Cowdy there. And Cowdy, she shows off some of her illustrations from Shibamata, which, if you'll remember, is from that date that she had with Shohei back then, where he forgot to take pictures of the entire place that they went to for the whole reason he was there in the first place. And then Cowdy shows off some of his art, and this is where we see the nude girl, but we also see Shohei giggling at his manga.
It's good.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
It's a good sign. That's funny.
Right. Yeah. And you notice here that Cowdy asks Pepe, oh, do you have any formal education with art, right? And he says, no, I just practiced. You know, I looked at the art form. I tried to mimic it. And he mimics Taiyo Matsumoto a lot, who I knew I recognized. He's the author for Tekken Kinkreet and Ping Pong. two pretty big stories.
Mm. I totally see it. I totally see it in his art.
Same. But something I wanted to ask you guys is, we know Cowdy has had trouble previously, you know, with herself thinking, I didn't get formally trained in art. Do I even deserve to be an illustrator? And now she's seeing this guy who has a serialized manga, who's doing pretty well for himself, no formal training whatsoever. How do you think she's feeling about this?
Mm. I mean, obviously thematically, I hope it helps her realize, right? It's that kind of kick in the ass of like, hey, just because you didn't have formal art schooling doesn't mean your talents aren't there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, yeah, maybe, I mean, Pepe even says himself, right? He did a lot of copying of this dude's art, right? And then eventually off of that, he shifted and made his own style, right? And so I think that Cowdy, a lot of her frustrations, she said before, stem from she feels like she's getting stagnant, right? So maybe it's veering off and doing something new is what she needs.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, that her self-esteem is at an all-time high right now. She just had that really successful show, huge turnout for that. And so that was a huge life goal for her. She's kind of like in this weary period where she's figuring out what to do next. So she's not getting too down on herself here. I like that. Because she deserves to, you know, have high self-esteem right now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope, yeah, like you said, this kind of makes her realize, like, just because she didn't happen to go to art school doesn't mean that she's any less of an artist than people that have. It's just, you know, different experiences produce different art styles. And I think for what she's doing, it's working very well. You know, if you want to go back and master some other techniques, do it, but don't feel like you have to because you're a failure otherwise. Mm.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that this kind of helps her see that there are multiple pathways to become a successful artist, right? Even though we find out later in this episode she's having a few more existential crises. Is that fair?
Yeah, man. Cowdy cannot catch a break lately, man. That's
a tough episode for her.
Yeah, definitely.
This is also a pretty tragic episode for Yusuke, right? Because we see Haruka come home. She meets Pepe. She kind of forgets. She doesn't understand his name quite. It's Pempe? Pipi?
Pempe?
Pippo?
P-E-P-P-E.
Yeah.
Pippo?
She gets it. She gets it eventually.
Pee-pee. It's Pepe. And then she sees him, goes upstairs and calls Yusuke and says, hey, we're not going to the fireworks together, just in case you were worried.
On the phone, and by the way, when she was talking there and they showed the room, you could see her. I figured she was talking to someone in the rooms that was off camera or just like deep in the bed somewhere. You know, you couldn't see them. No, she's on her phone letting him know that she's not even going to go to see fireworks with him because she can't reciprocate the feelings of more than friends. It's just like, damn. Saw this coming my way, but it was brutal that it happened over the phone.
Hey, sorry, Yusuke, a thing came up, and I can't go to the fireworks.
I don't know anymore. If that was it, though. You know, I know.
I'm just
yeah.
I'm just stoking the fire.
It was just she was like, oh shit, he's like trying to date me, and then she's like, wonder why? I wonder if I said anything. Yeah. Include him in all that.
It's just so sad because. I don't know. I can't think of any other time someone has turned someone else down in the house via phone. Well, I guess Yusuke isn't in the house here, so.
It felt like a double whammy in that, like, she already turned him down, essentially, and was like, I don't really feel that way. And then she was like, hey, just so you know, I still don't feel that way, and because of this, I'm not going to go to fireworks with you, which I feel like is almost like, yeah, I'm never going to see you again because of the way his schedule works and just the way things are. It's kind of just like, yeah, we're not hanging out anymore. It felt more final to me.
Yeah. I mean, why would our boy Yusuke, you know, why should he waste his time? You know what I'm saying?
Like, I hereby nominate Haruka from this season and Wes from Aloha State for the worst ways to dump somebody on camera. And we'll go from that. Just let that marinate for a little bit.
Or
it sucked.
I'd also like to posit, oh my God, what's her name? The nurse from BGITC in the beginning. Yuriko.
Yuriko.
Yes. Yuriko. Her ex-boyfriend. How He dumped her. That was pretty brutal.
That might be a video idea sometimes.
I'm dating the head of medicine's daughter.
That's not that even was, what he said, but never, it's like the canon.
Yeah, never happened, guys.
It's the canon, but, though.
Hops in hot rod just with the head of medicine's daughter.
Yeah, he didn't even open the door. It was like a convertible. He just jumped in and they zoomed off into the rest of their lives.
Sunglasses on.
So I think it's fair to say that none of us are exactly excited about this scene where Haruka dumped Yusuke over the phone, right? Well, not even dumped, but just...
Friend of the show, Yusuke.
Yes. What made me hate it even more, and maybe this just makes me hate the shitro even more, but it led to the shitro. Like, they were playing this happy fucking music toward the end of, like, we're definitely not seeing fireworks together. It was like, this sucks. All of this sucks. This intro sucks. This moment sucks. I hate
it. Is that we're not going to the fireworks?
Yeah.
Skip intro.
Brutal. But this is the first time, though, we saw... Pepe and Ami, right, in the intro. This is their first one.
Emmy.
Yeah, Ami came back from opening new doors.
I'll get the names. New people, guys, I'll get it.
And then after the shitro, we cut to the first floor. Everyone's down there. Haruka comes back after making the phone call from hell, and she meets Emika for the first time. And then Emika, in a way, kind of goes through perhaps her most harrowing experience ever in this scene. It's so terrifying and sad.
Dude, let's talk about this scene. Oh my God.
So, Kaori and Pepe retire for the night. Shohei goes to hang out on the sofas in the living room area. So, now it's just, and Haruka leaves too. So now it's just Emika and Ruka. And Emika,
because Ruka talks hints. About his drawing, and Haruka's just like, "Yeet, I'm out."
Yeah, he's dropping hints like, "Oh, I draw too." I mean, yeah, I know Pepe draws, but I draw too, guys.
It's kind of like
a sketchbook once.
I bought a sketchbook, and this is what I call my vision board.
Yeah,
my
he
future.
Draws on his vision board.
His vision board.
He said vision board. He used those words.
Well, then he's also like, "Is that what it's called? The vision board?" Like, yeah, that's it.
Wait, I also think he was emboldened a little bit because Shohei and Kaori were kind of saying he's being bashful recently, and you know, because Emi-chan is there, maybe, and so maybe he was like, you know, I need to start talking. I need to be more forthcoming. So maybe they stoked the fires here.
Maybe.
Can I ask you, Daily, since you're the probably the most artistic of the four of us here, is vision Thank board you. A real term?
Yeah, it's real.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you have your vision board, like, people make, like, this is my goals for 2020. And, like, you put, like, a picture of, like, a beach because you want to go on vacation. You put, like, motivating statements and, like, inspiring imagery. It is a thing. It totally is a thing.
Oh, it's okay.
It's not just a mythical thing the tweens say, like chow.
To be fair, like,
chow.
To be fair, though, if anyone needs a vision board, it's Ruka, right? He needs some direction.
Oh, God.
Absolutely.
He needs goals.
It's just pictures of Spider-Man. In the
I
words
need these
of
pictures of Spider-Man.
Jameson.
We'll get there. Don't spoil it, Daily. We're getting to his pictures of Spider-Man right
so,
now.
Emika asks the terrifying question, can I see your art?
Wow. He's got those art supplies. Him and Kaori went.
This, I said this on the live react. I think we have been giving Ruka a hard time. We have been we've been just beating the man as he's down, the boy he's as himself. He's down, if you will. But every week he comes up with something that makes us have more reason.
Yes. Do you think we want to do this to this guy? We're not asking for this, but my goodness, the way they edit this show is so brutally not in favor of him. They are not doing anything to paint him in a favorable light. They're just putting him on camera and letting him show us who he is and how his brain works. Do his thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you really think that he's a victim of the editing? Like a lot of the other situations?
I don't mean to suggest that. I don't mean to suggest that at all. I'm saying they're just putting him on camera and then this is what we get. Scenes
well,
like
yeah,
this.
I mean, we've heard from our community too that like, hey, you guys are kind of making Ruka into a punching bag because I'm like, dude, he's not making it easy for himself.
I think he's doing it on himself, man. So anyways, these pictures, right? They look, listen, okay, I'm far from anyone that can criticize anyone on their art. Like, he's probably even a better drawer than me. I'm like Tokui, who said that if I did art, it probably wouldn't look much better than that, right? The difference is, though, he takes himself so seriously. about his art that he's just getting started about. And when he explains it and talks about it, it comes off as pretty comical and pretty dark.
This is a puppeteer. You see, he's controlling this force over here. And there's this other force, an army.
See, this is the universe over here in this corner.
That's outer space over there. But we'll talk about that. We'll circle back in a second. First, we need to talk about this opposing force that's trying to take down the puppeteer. Let's go to the next page. This is Spider-Man. Yeah,
so chapter two.
The difference here is that, like, you'll see kids' drawings like this, and they'll try to tell you, like, all their deep stories about it, but it's, like, in cute little kid voices, and they're like, and here, and this is when Spider-Man swoops in, and he does, and because it's the outer space, so he has to do this, it's like, that's cute. But cool. When you see a grown-ass man sitting there explaining this to someone, and, like, wanting that same level of comprehension that, like, adults are like, oh, cool, yeah, I see Spider-Man over there, cool.
Yeah.
It's like, and Emmy can't bring herself to do that. She's just kind of like staring.
By the way, zero irony here, too. He does not have a sense of humor about this. He is dead ass serious about this lore he built. He fancies himself like J.R.R. Tolkien or something like that with this story of this picture here. And he's like, do you understand? Do you get what I mean? And she's like, look at her face. The deer in the headlights expression is so good.
She was probably like, Ruko, which 8-year-old did you beat up to get these pictures?
Oh my gosh. It gets better though, because then he turns the page and there's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man
is there.
And can we, but I need to say.
A 5-year-old drew it.
I need to say, the way that Ruko talks about this, right? It's like, to Daly's point, that this would kind of be like a child being excited, like, yeah, and then I draw Spider-Man, and Spider-Man does this, right? But he doesn't say it like he's excited. He says it like he thinks these are real things, like these are real actual visions that come to him. He's like, and there's a puppeteer out there who's controlling everything. You know, like, he doesn't have any sense of levity when he's talking about this. He's so serious.
And somehow the puppeteer also, if you look closely, has like their brain exposed or something like that. But they have like a Spider-Man style face. It is fucking weird, man. Yeah. Then he starts drawing her name, right? He's like, how do you spell your name?
Yeah, he writes her name.
He can't do it. He can't do it at first, though. Yeah. He can't do the kanji. He's like, wait.
He's like, what's
kanji
is
it?
It's like the one for Chinese food.
And he's like, I don't know that one.
Yeah. But what I think is weirder is that he writes her name in cursive, which I'm not sure if that's a direct translation, if there's a way to write Japanese in cursive.
No.
Interesting.
Daly, do you know?
No.
The way he did it is he just connects all the hiragana together so that it's just kind of like one big loop-de-loop thing, which is like kind of cute. Like, I can see situations where it'd be, like, kind of cute, but for his, it just looks like scribble.
Yeah.
And
he finds his name in her name, which I don't know how accurate it is or how much of a slant thing it might have been. It was there?
It's there.
Unfortunate, it's there. Isn't it?
With the and the me, you can infer that.
Dude, it was
easily.
It was creepy when he goes, look, I found my name and your name. And then he looks at the page. The camera points just on him and he goes, so creepy. He goes, huh. It was like the creepiest haunt ever. It's like, what the fuck?
So do you guys think that Ruka in his head, he thought he was being suave? Is that what's happening here? Like, to him? He's like, I'm going to show you my, like, I'm excited that you're letting me show you my art. I'm showing you my art. Wow, you must really like it because I'm perceiving you as liking it. Now, hey, what's your name? Because I think this is a cute thing to do for you.
Yeah.
Right?
And
he does it. And he's like, this is me winning points when it's not.
I don't think that he was maybe thinking he was suave, so to speak. But I do think he thought they were having a connection moment. And that was not happening.
I would like to posit. I think, based on the literature we've read and seen, I think he's being mysterious, or what he thinks being mysterious
my
is.
Gosh.
If you would remember, if you'd like to turn to page one of the lost tapes, he says that a lot of girls tend to think he's mysterious, and he says that like he's very proud. I think this is one of those moments where he's like, yeah, I'm being cool and mysterious.
It's really just because he never talks.
I would describe him as mysterious in the sense that it's like, I have no fucking idea what's going on in his head. It is a mystery. Like, that is the mysterious part about Ruka. It's not like, ooh, wonder what he's all about. It's kind of alluring. He's mysterious. It's no, it's just like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah.
I don't think you can even call him like two-dimensional either, right? It's like, because two-dimensional would imply he's like so simple to understand, right? Mm. There's just not much going on there. It's more so like there might be something else going on there, even though he's coming off as like very simple.
For me, for the last like, fuck man, it seems like five, six episodes, it's like, okay, surely this is peak Ruka here. Surely this is the dumbest thing that we're going to hear about. Surely.
Peak Ruka.
Yeah, and then every week it just outdoes itself. And like, now I'm saying the same thing. It's like, fool me six times in a row. Now I'm like, surely we can't get anything stupider than this. We'll see. I don't know, but I'm not putting it past him.
And that concludes this week's segment of Ruka Does the Darndest Things. Tune in next week where Ruka will probably do something really fucking buffoonish. And we will still dedicate at least 12 minutes of our show to him.
Damn, is it entertaining, though, y'all. I'm not going to lie to you.
The best part about it, though, is when they cut to the panel and then Yama's like, oh, no, they want our reaction. They're like, turn away.
Here, Jack, take the hot potato.
Wait, that was the best part.
Before it gets to that, though, it gets worse because remember, it's the next day.
Oh,
Pepe's downstairs. He's doing work in his Herman Miller chair. Jack, do you want to plug Herman Miller real quick?
You did twice. It's fine. They don't sponsor us, so.
Sponsor us, please. And then Cowdy comes in and Emika comes in and they all note that Ruka left his drawings there completely undefended.
Oh, and he practiced her name way 50 more times. With hearts by it.
It's like a lot.
Dude, that is psycho shit right there. If I was her, I'd be like, just the knife going through the shower curtain.
Cody's like, I think he's into you.
Yeah. And of course, Pepe interprets it the nicest way possible, where he's like, you know, sometimes great artists like Picasso,
they become
so good at art.
Dude.
They like to get shit at art again to find that childlike innocence once more.
Dude, call him Stretch Armstrong with all that logic stretching he's doing trying to save the
God,
man.
Dude,
oh my God.
He is really jumping the shark on that
dude,
one.
Dude, Pepe is hanging himself here. Pepe, do not like hang yourself at the expense of Ruka. My goodness, dude.
That dude, just listen, just give Pepe time.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I mean, the Pepe protection people, the 3P or the P3.
P3.
Coming out. Yeah, P3.
And then we cut to the panel and they're like, oh no, I don't know how to react to this. I love it. It's probably one of my favorite panel moments ever.
Yeah. They were caught off guard and they're never caught off guard, you know? But it was like, one of the best lines was when Tokui said that it was like he was showing her you found a fancy closet. And then you open it and there's a corpse inside.
And his face at that moment, the sudden realization.
Yeah, Emmy's just her expressions. So, and I think she's just thinking in her head, like, is this guy fucking with me? Like, is this for real what he's saying?
Dude, probably.
Because she's on camera. And then it's just like the horror in her heart that she must have felt when she realized, no. This guy's dead ass serious. This guy really means this.
I was waiting for her to like look into the camera with like help me eyes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are you serious? Is this real?
Help. She's giving the Jim Halpert look to the
camera.
She's
tapping SOS on her nails on the tabletop.
Blinking over and over again. SOS.
Yeah, yeah.
Blink twice if you need help.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, this whole panel scene makes me wish I could understand the Japanese like ongoing track. The commentary track, because I want to hear like the minute before we cut to them to see how they transitioned, right? Couple things I want to note about this panel moment. Yama's wearing a shirt with a goose on it.
Goose.
Which all makes me think of is Honk from the Untitled Goose Game. That's like all that goes through my head now. And then they do this play on Ruka's From the Upside Down, which I'm slowly believing.
I'm ready to believe. Like, we're just not on his level. We're just not, like, ready for his, like, next level alternate dimension thoughts.
So the problem's with us, then, is what I'm understanding.
Yeah, it's us.
I accept
that. Once we start calling him Kaoruiri Inoshini, then we will truly understand the truth behind Ruka and where he's from and what he does.
I feel like it's gonna be one of those things where it's gonna be like that bit from Family Guy where it's like, you just gotta go, you gotta go on Jeopardy and say Alex Trebek's name backwards.
Oh yeah.
Just like, and he's like, rah! And then he explodes.
Oh, that's kind of sad to say now though.
Love you, Alex Trebek. Love you, Alex Trebek.
Colin, you keep going in the dark places, my friend.
Ooh, wait, fine. Alex Trebek is still alive? It's fine.
Yes, he is. We love this man.
He is. Yeah, yes. That's true. At the moment of this recording.
Knock on wood.
Yes.
And then we cut to the first floor, and this is where we get the orange flavored kiss scene. It's not a kiss scene.
But we were hoping though when we watched it together.
Yeah,
he's like, oh,
they're set up there.
Oranges.
Pepe,
oranges.
He's working. Haruka comes home. She brings out a peach and says, "Have you ever had a Japanese peach before?" It felt a little bit condescending, but whatever.
Don't peel that peach. Don't peel it.
Yeah, I've only been here for 4 years. No. Yeah. No, I haven't.
What's a peach? Yeah.
And then Pepe, he suggests, let's make a cocktail out of it. Do you like to drink? I brought this orange liqueur called Aperol. I've never had it personally, but it's an orange liqueur. And he makes a cocktail out of it by throwing in some of the peaches, some oranges, some of that Aperol orange liqueur, and some club soda. I wish I knew the name of that cocktail. But it's very good. It looks very good.
Orange flavor kiss.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what we can call
it. That's
what
it's called.
I was down until he reached for the green olives. Like, please no. It sounded so good until then. And he's like, do you want the olive? And Haruka's like, yeah, I'll take it. And he's like, oh, wait, let me do one without it. And then I'll add it. It's like, seems like a bad combo to me.
And that's a little bit of that salty. You know, a little bit of salt in your sweet.
Olives, I don't know about that.
I love olives like in a martini, right? Like Kettle One, three blue cheese olives. Hell yeah. But you know, but when it's a sweet flavor, like, I don't want to mix them. It's too weird.
Fair enough. But after the drinks are served, Haruka suggests, oh, let's go up to the rooftop. And I think all of us were in the same mind of like, oh shit, that sounds romantic as hell.
Yeah, it seemed very flirty. They're drinking. Ooh, they're connected.
Tightrope dancing.
Night views.
I always thought, is there a hammock up there? Right. But I always thought, because we had to wait, we had delayed gratification where Haruka didn't get to meet Pepe or Emmy during their first day, right? So they finally get to meet here. And I always wondered if there would be any sparks there. And we find out
not yet. Under the hood.
You think so?
I think so. I mean,
okay.
Under the hood sparks.
Definitely. Our boy Pepe, I will say, is a little full of shit.
He's got game.
He's got game, dude. He is like, oh, I'm shy. You know, I'm shy around girls. He's up here killing it. Maybe it's unintentional, but he's killing it. It's like telling this whole story about his first kiss and stuff like that. And Haruka's eating that shit up like it's a Japanese peach.
Okay. So
good analogy.
Controversial statement here. Number two for me. Okay. So
number three.
Okay. Keep track, please. Keep a tally. But I just don't know if I buy it about I was a late bloomer. I didn't have my first kiss till I was 18. I just don't know. Okay. I'm a Pepe skeptic here. All I'll say, I'm not accusing the man of lying, but I will say it is a move to make yourself seem, for especially men that are very experienced, to downplay that experience and seem more, you know, more wholesome, I guess, less experienced. Mm-hmm. So it is a move is all I'm saying. And so, again, I'm skeptical. We'll find out because he is way too smooth for this. And I agree with what you said, Colin.
If that's what he's doing, he's playing some, he's got a mean meta game going on there then.
I don't know the vibes I've gotten from Pepe, because like he started pretty young with manga. He like obsessively like he called like actual publishers in like broken English and tried to get his stuff published. For some reason, I get like a really big like ugly duckling. Like he was like the nerd when he was like a teenager, and when he should have been going around and charming the ladies, he was at home drawing manga, and then like. He went through like that glow up all of a sudden, and then it's like, oh, he can model and draw manga. Like that's the vibe I get.
Yeah, dude. Maybe. I'm right there with you, Daly. I definitely think he was a glow up sort of story, and that's why we get the story the way it is. I think that's a great theory, and I think that there's a lot of girls he went to high school with that are looking at him now. I'm like damn
what?
It.
Yeah, they're like, wait, what? You're on Paradise now? Yeah, you know what? I mean, I'm willing to consider that as a possibility. But someone around here has got to be watching our backs here. Okay, guys, so we'll see.
I can provide that. As much as I am a Pepe stan, I'm willing to throw my hat onto this critique hook that Jack has so kindly put up. I'm willing to believe the late bloomer theory, that he is a late bloomer for sure. What I'm not willing to believe is, let's just say that if he happened to buy banana liqueur instead, his first kiss would have tasted like bananas. You know, I think he's a fan of embellishing the little details to then bring things closer to home. Like, oh, she's tasting orange right now, so my first kiss, very, you know, sexual tension right there, it tasted a lot like oranges.
Yeah, he was not, I'll say this, like, no. Pretty emphatically, I don't think he was surprised at all that he made her blush on the rooftop there.
Yes.
I think he absolutely knew that he was going to get that effect.
Yeah. So either he planned that story, or like maybe the story's true where, yes, that his first kiss did taste like oranges, but then that made him think, okay, I'm going to buy orange liqueur, going to make a girl an orange liqueur-based cocktail, tell them the story. There you go. I look suave.
That's fair. Cool.
It's a random enough fact, but like, how often do you, after your first time drinking with someone, talk about your first kiss? I mean, it's okay to talk about your current relationships, but your first
on
one?
On Tara's house.
Yeah.
On Tara's house. Yeah. He could have had a different orange story very easily. Like, oh, you know that taste when you drink orange juice after you brush your teeth?
Yeah.
And then it would have been a totally different vibe.
Yeah.
But he was like, hey, first kiss, oranges.
Yep. Think about thoughts. My mouth. Yes.
Think about
my
mouth. My mouth tastes like oranges right now, too. Like your mouth.
Jack Cepeda.
Yeah.
2020. No, think about my mouth.
No one think about my mouth. How dare you? It's weird now.
So after they ravage each other with their eyes, we cut to Minato Mirai in Yokohama, a place with a lot of memories when it comes to Tara's house. You know, that's the same place that Misaki got dumped by, oh my god, construction boy, Hikaru,
construction
asked out by Burns.
Yes.
Very big, very historic place for the Tara's house community.
Pivotal.
And now here we have just Yusuke, friend of the show Yusuke.
Friend of the show, Eden Kai.
Watching the fireworks on his own, being happy. He definitely has a happy look on his face. And this scene goes on for like 90 seconds,
I'm
2 minutes.
This whole fucking song?
Like, yeah, it was a solid 2 minutes. You can go back and watch our live react. We were sitting there, we're like, okay, it's over.
Okay,
and it's over.
Yeah,
end it.
Any minute and now.
End it.
And then, we got to show the finale. We brought all these cameras fucking out here. We're going to get as much as we can out of this scene.
Yeah, they're squeezing their money's worth out of that.
I'm going to compliment our boy here real quick, because when the light was hitting his face, he's looking up, optimistic, into the future. I was like, skin goals, man. Mm. This guy's got a good complexion. Mm. I was like, well, he's got that good thing where he's going to, like, look like he's younger, you know, as he gets older. People are going to think he's like 10 years younger, you know, like pretty much in throughout life, 40s, 50s, he's going to still look youthful. So.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Good looking boy. He's simple and clean.
Nice.
Just like the way that you're making me feel it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to juxtapose this scene with two things. One, we just saw Haruka be really happy in a very sexually charged situation.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just like rubbing salt in the wound, right?
They did our boy dirty.
Was that the same night? Is that the way they're trying to edit this?
I mean,
it happening at the same time?
Maybe either that, or just, you know, they're just putting it together. So that way you just immediately think of like, oh, Haruka's having fun. I wonder how the guy she rejected's doing.
Yeah.
Oh. That's how he's doing. You know?
Watching fireworks.
You know, he's fine though, man.
He's fine.
I want to see him find romance and find love too, but at the same time, I don't want him to just be with like anyone, like, right, be with someone that is going to appreciate him too.
Yes. You
know, because he's obviously, I mean, he's looking to date, but he's also looking, it seems to me, I don't know, maybe I'm completely wrong, maybe he can tell us, but it seems like he's looking for, you know, see what happens, see what sparks fly, you know, maybe some long-term implications, who knows, but I don't want it to be with the wrong person, you know, just like any good
he wants friend. To see where the fireworks can bloom, the yeah. sky flowers can bloom,
yeah,
but not another there. Thing I want to juxtapose this with is we got the same scene essentially in Aloha State with the catfish. Like, so, this is that scene again.
I get what you're saying, because he is by himself, right? But that was a lot. I think the tone is a lot different. To me, I got an optimistic 100%. Kind of triumphant tone out of this one. You know, it wasn't the ending maybe he had hoped for at the time, but I think it was a lot more on a positive note. The catfish scene is the catfish scene is the catfish scene. I don't need to talk any more about it.
Yeah. Where I'd say the catfish scene was just like straight up like misery, I would say that the fireworks scene is more like, it's kind of melancholy. It reminded me a lot of like an anime ending where it's like the protagonist is like hopeful for the future, but remembers the sadness of the past. I don't know. I'm reading a lot into it, but that's the distinct feeling I got.
You know what? That was, staring he didn't look at sad fireworks. At all. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, didn't cut you off. He didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't
look sad at all.
No, it was a positive thing. Like I said, he could have sat there and like, you know, been all down on himself. It wasn't like that. He was like, man, I live with no regrets, right? He's leaving Japan. No regrets. He shot a shot. Boom. There it goes. And off to Hawaii. Recording single, you know, off to the States, and he'll be back in Japan in the winter.
That single's out now, too.
It is. Inside Outside.
Yeah, plugging friend of the show, Yusuke.
No shit here, though.
Friend of the show, Yusuke.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. I like that song. It's like an easy listening 90s song. I'm into it. Mm-hmm. I think it's good.
Good stuff.
Because I'm on the inside, but it feels like I'm on the outside.
Dude, that chorus is catchy. I'm just saying.
I dig it. It's very good. Streaming. So now we cut back into the house. We're on the first floor and Shohei and Pepe are lounging around and Shohei's like, I don't want to drink tonight. And then Emika comes down. Hey, do you want to drink tonight? And he's like,
hey, have a beer with me, you little bitch.
Yeah,
dude, basically what she said.
Hip popping.
That hip popped out. Like, please drink with me. Like, wow. It was like, definitely like. Wow. You don't talk to your friends like that.
No.
I don't know how unless you had to like wake up at 5 in the morning the next morning. I don't know how you turned down that invitation. That was the way you asked somebody to drink a beer, I felt. I was like, yeah, I'll have a beer, me too, yes.
Okay.
And then we see a little bit of Shohei and Pepe's ship strengthening because they're both like, can't say no to a girl, right?
Mm-mm.
Can't say no to an invitation from a girl.
Mm-mm.
God, I hope they kiss.
Boy.
So
the two dudes,
Shohei yes. and Pepe, for, yes, exactly. for clarification, yes.
For clarification, yeah. Yes.
Shohei.
Oh, Shohei. No.
Shohei.
You know what? Fuck you for that. Okay.
Do that or Pei. Oh, Pei is worse.
Pei. Share a payday bar.
Fuck everything about this.
Shohei 2020 ship.
So Pepe, Shohei, and Emika drink. They literally say cheers, actually, I think, at least Pepe does. And I've noticed this. He's the only one in the house to keep tapping his glass on the table or on the bar or whatever after they say drink. Cheers. Like, he's the only one that does it. I'm curious if that's even a thing at all in Japan, if Japanese people do that, which I get the feeling they don't.
Is it an Italian thing?
It's a weird Western thing. I've seen some Americans do it and like Europeans.
It's like trying to keep the tradition alive. I don't know.
I didn't even catch it.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked it up. It's one of those traditions that no one knows why people do it, but some people, like when they see other people do it, they do it. Hmm. It's weird.
Huh.
I don't know what to tell you. But then Ruka comes home and we get a little bit of an update from him that he finally has an interview with that Marvel themed cafe. And he's hoping that finally he can learn a little bit of English because a lot of the people that come through there are gaijin. And we'll hopefully speak English.
Because that's the best way to learn, yes. Obviously.
I mean, yep. I think if you're really serious about learning a foreign language, I mean, YouTube's a thing. There's so many free resources out there that cost nothing but your time and effort. Mm-hmm. Like, get the ball rolling there. Don't wait to get this job. You know, wouldn't it be great if you could show up to the interview already knowing some English? Wouldn't that be great?
Yes. We'll have
Please.
To see.
These words are important.
What I'm really excited about is seeing the job interview. I hope we see that. And I hope we eventually see him at the job if he gets it. Because I just want to see him be.
I want to see him make a cocktail. But what are the odds if he does have the interview that he's wearing a hoodie? Just saying. What are the odds, guys?
Yeah, he pulls up to the hoodie like you die wearing a sweatshirt and jeans.
Why do you want
to
work sunglasses. Here? It's close.
Yeah, it's close.
It's close. It's nearby.
Yeah. It's a bike ride
away. I want to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But you mean like You want to become like the actor? No, I want to be Spider-Man.
I heard Spider-Man's here. Spider-Man's here. That's me, Spider-Man. By the way. I'm here.
I heard Spider-Man's here, and I'm going to beat the shit out of him because he's an imposter. Spider-Man. I'm Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I feel like the interviewer... I feel like the interviewer wouldn't even get a word out. He would just be like, I want to be Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Web shooters. It's not even an officially licensed bar. Marvel cafe.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's not even a cafe. It's a bar. It's still a bar.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not officially licensed whatsoever. They just show Marvel movies during the day on like the TVs.
That's illegal. I'm pretty sure they could be hit with a cease and desist at any moment.
The mouse is coming for Netflix.
Especially now it's on. It's yeah, now it's on Tears. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see some lawyer. They're like, what's the name of that bar? Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. and then we finally, I think this is finally our first time we see people get in the pool. Yes. Like actually yes. into the
water. They're not
the
cleaning it like
of
in the pool.
Yeah. They're not floating. Looking up how to go skirt like Kenny did.
Yeah.
But, and,
jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, we see
Haruka you notice, though. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
Go,
you
go
notice
ahead,
that
ahead,
the summer intro against Chitro begins, and they're wearing bathing suits there. So clearly, you know, it came from this same time, it seems like.
Right. It's like telegraphing it a little bit, right? Yeah. And we see Haruka jumps in. You know, she's in her bikini. And then we see Emika. She takes off her shorts. She takes off her shirt. Very male gaze going on here. It's great. Just
it's
good.
Like weirdly. It was uncomfortable. Like, I like girls, and I was like, I don't like looking at them like this.
Yeah, it was a little, it was a bit much, but also like, I get it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this season, anyway, has been pretty good about this sort of thing up and until this very scene.
Well, Shohei, scrotum.
That was Shohei at work, right, guys? I mean, that was just Shohei at work. That was just Shohei,
you know,
doing his job.
You guys are quick to label this scene male gaze, but when we go to the panel in the future, the most vocal people about this are you and Tori-chan and Bob Azona. Not the guys.
Very,
they don't bring it up. You know,
they're,
yeah,
they're erotic.
They're just like, yeah, they're so hot. It's basically
they're bringing
they said
it up. They're like, yeah, you had a pretty funny comment. She's like, man, if I a middle-aged man seeing that at a beach resort would lose all his defenses or something like that. And it's like,
yeah. And she also joked about like how the only way you can get a waist that thin is if you keep twisting the way she does when she asks Shohei for a beer or to get beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I like that.
Same. but this whole pool scene kind of turns into something a little sad. For a little while there, it's just a little fun, you know, Cody's shooting the water gun and, you know, they're all just kind of, you know, just swish and splashing around. It's summer. And then Cody says that she's been feeling a little bit down since the art exhibit because she's kind of like, well, I've crested over that one hill. What's my next goal? I don't know. And then also, I don't have anyone I can confide in the house. And I've given up on finding someone to confide in the house, which I think that's the saddest thing, right? Is that you've given up on the idea of I'm not going to make a real friend here. So,
yeah, I mean, that's also like. At the time when we were watching that, I thought that was a little, that was a big thing to say to people that you live with, right? Like, she's saying to all these other people, like, hey, yeah, like, I can't confide in anyone in the house, including you guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's like, it felt very, not really finger in the chest per se, but it, like, in a general way, kind of.
Could be a little backhanded.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, that's kind of like, wow. I would feel, if someone said that, I would feel kind of insulted. I don't know about you guys.
Are we going to have the Kaori deconstruction conversation now? Because I'm ready for it, if we need to.
Yeah, but, I mean, it all kind of happens in and around here. So let's get into it if you want to kick it off, Jack.
Yeah, so, I mean, she said some things that stood out to me here, where she's like, well, that's true that, you know, I don't want to rock the boat in so many words. And she said, but I've been this way my whole life and I don't see any reason to change who I am. Right. And it's like there's like some primary fallacies going on here with that logic. It's like, so you're never truly yourself, open and honest. People keep telling you they wish they knew you better, but they're never going to unless you open up to people. And it's just Kaori's so afraid of being rejected for being honest. She's focused too much on the negative, Whereas you, it is a high risk, but it's a high reward too. And she's not realizing that. Like, consider the fact that you are open, you are honest, you are yourself at all times. True, some people might dislike that, but the people that really like you really like who you are for being yourself, you know, and that could be very valuable. But by adopting this attitude of really not being sincere, not being true, not wanting to rock the boat or anything like that, you're just always going to have this protective shield up, you know, and you're never going to let anybody in. And then you're going to be upset when they go away or when you have just pretty superficial relationships. You know, no one's going to get close. That's my thought. That's kind of my whole thesis there. Drop the book.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. It's just like, I mean, it's in a sense, basic human psychology. It, like, as humans, we don't like to be alone, right? Loneliness is a scary thing to us in a very primal sense. And so by, as Jack was saying, putting up all these barriers, pushing people away, not really being yourself around other people, or I don't know, really just being honest with your feelings more than anything else, you're going to basically subject yourself to having nothing but superficial relationships that aren't real. And because of that, like, it's just an endless cycle. The thing is, man, you gotta crack a few eggs, you know. That's what it comes down to in this situation.
When I think about where this comes from, I mean, there are obviously a multitude of possible factors that have led Cowardy to where she is today, right? But when you think about just how her life is, there's a lot that you can kind of infer. What I think of is, I mean, first off, the baseline of Japanese society is very collectivist, right? So generally speaking, if you rock the boat, that's bad, right?
Right.
But then built on top of that, if I had to guess, she seems to have grown up in a more rich or at least upper middle class kind of setting. And generally, when it comes to the upper middle class and upper class, not to generalize, but there's a way to live that society. You know, like, you have to walk the right way and talk the right way. You have to be kind and honest to certain people, but dishonest to many others, right? You know, there's a lot of intrigue that can go on there. And then beyond that, this is what I think maybe might be the biggest factor as to why she likes to placate everyone, is that she's been a freelancer for the past year and a half, 2 years, like full time, and still part time for months before that. And as someone who has freelanced a lot, you want to have as many friends as possible at all times. Yeah. You never want to burn any bridges, crack any eggs. You want to be able to approach anyone and be like, hey, remember all those fun times we had? Remember how much you like me? Can we talk about, can I do a project for you or something?
I need money.
Yeah. And if I had to guess, I think that might be the biggest factor that leads to why she just kind of lives her life generally without wanting to crack any eggs.
She's letting her business life creep into her personal life.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe. Yeah.
That's just, it's a guess though. Obviously we can't say for sure.
Sure. Right.
She is who she is. It's unhealthy and it's a fast track to depression.
I think part of the problem is that it's probably worked for her so far, you know, that kind of, you know, being a people pleaser, not, you know, wanting to, you know, burden people. I'm sure she sees it as a burden, like burden people with like your problems and your feelings versus like just listening. Because usually that is pretty rewarding in terms of like people are like, oh, Cowrie's really nice. Like, thanks for always listening to, you know, my problems, blah, blah, blah. But then it gets to a point, and I think that's where we're at now in the house. I think that it's boiled up because we have been in the house for so long that she's like, wow, everyone comes to me with their issues and I listen and now I have issues and what am I supposed to do? I can't like look at myself in the mirror and talk to myself about my problems. You know, she doesn't have a Cowrie. She needs a Cowrie.
That's the major problem too, is she's... Again, with Robert saying, you know, she's just focused on placating everyone, but she's shielding herself off. But then she's also shielding herself in, too. She can't let that stuff out. And it's just building up and building up inside her. And it's got to be stressful. And like you said, Colin, it's got to be a pathway to depression, too. And she is sad about it right now when confronted with it.
I think, too, part of it is that we've already seen her get, in a way, burned, right? There was an episode where she does confide in Kenny, right? And he doesn't give
Kenny
the best advice at all. He's like, yeah, maybe you should make art for your fans or like sell your stuff or do what they want. And it's like, no.
She didn't follow it anyways, and, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Right. Of course she didn't, but like she probably, you know, heard that and was just like, wow, that's no.
Yeah, no, that's not a good idea. Can
I hope she doesn't she doesn't assume that about everyone else in the house. I guess she had that one freak moment. That doesn't mean she thinks everyone is bad at advice, I would hope. But
right.
Who's to say, right? And I think what's such a shame here is that we've consistently said on the show since day one of T20 that Shohei seems to be one of the more sage people in the house. He tends to give pretty solid wisdom, pretty solid advice. And it's a shame that Cowdy doesn't feel like she can turn to him, primarily probably because of the feeling she has for him and how it's been a little bit romantically complicated between them. You know,
really?
It makes me wonder if that's one of the reasons she can't, she feels like she can't turn to him for advice.
Right. Because I think this is getting, that gets a little complicated, because if it turns into one of those things where she's going to him for advice, right, but she also knows that she has feelings for him, the relationship is going to be based around him just being the advice giver. Right. It's a shoulder of the cry on situation. But here's the thing, though, too, is like we've also seen that Shohei doesn't always give the best advice. Like he does at times, but other times not so much. Like the scene where he's talking to Ruka and he's like, women only care about, you know, men in their careers, you know. And so I think that, well, at least what I hope is that she turns to Pepe for advice.
Whoa, you hope for this?
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. And because I think, at least so far, he's proved himself to be the more grounded of everyone. I don't know, just based on the little tidbits we know so far.
The last thing I have to say about the scene is when she is when she's crying on the couch and Shohei is at the chalkboard writing down he's about to leave, that scene was weirdly edited. I think that was kind of like not actually how that was going down, but I think the show wanted it to seem like she was crying when she was talking to Shohei, and I'm not really buying it. Watch it again. It seems like a really strange cut.
It was weird. And they even used footage of Haruka in the pool for a little bit there. And it was like, why are we, this is kind of odd.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was a weird edit.
Yeah. But the idea of Cowdy going to Pepe, I kind of do hope that happens for one of, you know, many things that Cowdy might be feeling, if only to hear Pepe give a rustic homebred story about how Carbonata was born and somehow apply that to her life.
I think that there's I think there's a friendly rivalry between them as artists, a professional rivalry. And also Pepe kind of opened the door to that too. He's like, oh, we'll be rivals. Like he said that, like, kind of in the first 5 minutes as a joke. But I think that I don't see romance there right now. I did see her pep up though and smile when Shohei looked at her art that she did for his article. And she really, really wanted Shohei's approval heavily there, and she got it. So I was getting more kind of electricity in the air there. But, I mean, Pepe could be smooth as shit and suavecito his way up in that bitch. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
That was a weird term.
Suavecito up in this bitch.
Suavecito up in this bitch.
I was just going to let it go, but then I was like, wait a minute.
We can't let that go.
Words are hard, guys. Podcasting for over a year. Okay, please.
Dexapeda, 2020.
Only been podcasting for four years.
Same. Speaking of Pepe, we cut back to the first floor now where Pepe is getting ready to pull an all-nighter at the office. Classic life of a mangaka, right? And he makes some arrabbiata, a little bit of spicy pasta. For Haruka and a lot of other people in the house. And by the time he's done making this pasta, all the girls have conveniently gathered at the dinner table with him. And he, oh so conveniently, is working on a plot line in his manga where a girl's about to go on a first date, and he just conveniently needs examples of what girls would like on a first date, because conveniently he's a guy and doesn't know what a girl would want. So he asks the three girls.
Conveniently. Is it convenient?
It's a little convenient. And he asks the three girls, hey, what's your ideal first date? He does some research right here. It's perfect.
Uchi Week Part 2.
This was
really Oh my gosh. It felt that way.
I thought a date was going to get made there, but it didn't happen. But again, it was like the recon job. He's going to swoop in later.
Yeah. And to just hit the bullet points real quick, Haruka, she talks about one of her favorite first dates where the guy took her to this wharf that had a bunch of imported cars there. And, you know, she's a huge car gearhead nerd. So she loved that, obviously.
That's perfect for her. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Emika talked about how she would love to go to the ocean. She loves the ocean. She loves the sea. I did find it funny that both Kaori and Haruka at the same time said it's too hot for that. So there's a little bit of like Emika's the odd one out there for that. Mm. And Kaori says that she's more into the mountains.
Yeah. I think I mean it's the age old question, the beach or the mountains.
Is that a question?
Yes. That is question in Japan. Weird.
That's true.
It's like when it's like summer holidays, beach or mountain. What are we doing? We going hiking, we going to the beach. Choose one or the other.
I want a stream nearby.
Do it now.
I want a stream nearby so I can throw a watermelon in it. Ah.
So
there you go.
Mountains.
So what
you're saying mountains.
What do you think Pepe's impression is after that?
I don't know, because we don't get much about him here, right?
He kept saying he wanted to go to the beach. And I kind of took it. I mean, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention here, but I kind of took when the girl said it's too hot almost as like a shutdown. Like, no, we're not going to the beach.
Yeah.
Don't ask us to the beach. Costco. I don't know. I don't know why.
Let's all go to Costco together.
Yeah. But it seemed like, it's too hot for the beach because all Pepe wanted was beach. He's beach all day long. I think he said he hadn't been to the beach yet that year. Last year.
Yeah. I don't know. I got a little bit of the sense that he and Emika connected the most there, but it's kind of hard to say because he was just doing research, right? Mm-hmm. No intentions otherwise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Right. Reconnaissance.
Yeah. For his manga. For nothing else.
For manga. The manga based on his life.
But it's fictional. Entirely fictional based on his
fictional.
Life.
Yeah.
And he's totally not suave.
No, he's got no game. No, he's got a lot of game.
No game.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Gameless.
And in the scene, you know, some time passes. Pepe goes off to go to work, and Shohei's back home now, and he wants to talk to Kaori to continue that weird short conversation they had right before he left for work.
Mm.
And we got like three bombshells or so at the end here.
Quick succession. It was a carpet bombing.
It was whiplash. Yeah.
So if you watched our live react, we were probably practically silent for the last 3-4 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
Maybe five. Because so much stuff was being thrown at us in this one conversation between Kaori and Shohei in the playroom that it was a whirlwind. I kind of got whiplash.
And you didn't know what to believe either, because they're just like, you know, discussing rumors and hearsay and just like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah, this is like the most he said, she said the show's been in a while. Which was a little annoying, kind of.
It felt like a high school scene.
Yeah.
Why don't you break it down for us, Robert?
Essentially, Shohei asks, hey, Kaori, so what's been going on? And we've kind of covered that, so she kind of tells him the same things. But she also says, I'm going to tell you this now because you're going to find out in an episode anyway, and I want you to hear it from me rather than from me on the show, I guess. Mm-hmm. Where she basically reveals her feelings for him and says that she's been interested in him. Wow. And was kind of hurt when he said that he prefers a straight shooter as opposed to someone who beats around the bush a little bit like Kaori does.
Wow. Revelations.
Yeah. It's he doesn't seem all that surprised. I think he said he heard it from one place or another. Mm-hmm. And then he brings up that he's heard that Kaori is engaged.
Nani?
Nani the fuck? Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Where did that even come from?
Dude, it was a shock to the audience for sure. Yeah. It's like, because they never even hinted at that.
Like an accusation, and it's like, well, you've been hiding that you're engaged.
Yeah.
That's the way it's a fucking
soap
there.
It's a soap opera now. Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it'd be like a Rico Pin Hayato thing again, where it's like, oh, we know you've been making out. Like, oh, I know you're engaged, but.
Yeah.
It's not the case. Apparently Shohei heard this from a mutual friend they have and from Kenny, which thanks Kenny, still ruining the show after you leave. Thanks.
Appreciate it, bub.
God, Kenny.
But she says, no, essentially TLDR, she was kind of seeing her business manager partner person, but then they stopped seeing each other. And since it's not high school, she's never felt the need to announce to everyone like, oh, hey, I'm dating now, or oh, hey, I'm not dating now.
Right.
But as she is in that moment, she is single. But
and
then
she does all her business stuff
on Shohei, and is like, "Hey, I've also heard you're dating someone," and it's like, "Why? What is happening?"
Yeah, where did she say she heard that from again? Was this Kenny again?
I think she didn't say who she heard it from. She just heard it.
Okay. Then he says something funny. Shohei says, well, I'm sleeping with a ton of people, but I'm not dating anybody.
Yeah. And I don't know if that was a pass because he does pink films or if he's actually literally just hooking up with people.
I think he's playing the field. He's single. I think he's jesting. It's a joke, but it's true.
He's definitely sleeping with Pepe.
No.
Oh, so I just sleep in the bed with you.
They're
right?
In the same
and
bed.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't start these lies.
I wouldn't be surprised if Shohei was a little bi-curious.
That's a dream, right?
Pepe is an attractive man.
I can do nothing to stop you guys from going down this rabbit hole, can I? I'm realizing now. No. I'm trying my damnedest, internet. You can't.
But nonetheless, yes, Shohei dispels those rumors as well. He says, like, no, I am single. I am not dating anyone. And the episode ends with the two of them mutually saying, okay, let's get a drink sometime.
Yeah, it's a good start. Episode, what are we on? 15? No, 16.
This is episode 16. My goodness. Yeah.
So, theory. Uh-huh. Do they, or potential prediction, do they start dating and then ride off into the sunset? And if so, is this next episode? Or is it way down the road? Is this going to blossom on the battlefield?
I think we got a couple episodes till if anything's going to happen.
You think?
At all, something happens. Yeah, I think it's going to take a few episodes.
You mean they're not going to go get a drink for 2 weeks?
Oh, no. They're going to go get a drink, but I don't think like they're going to mac out or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a few episodes, if at all.
I'm pretty skeptical considering that we had that whole thing with Shohei going to his local bar and being like, Haruka, Haruka, Haruka. Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah, y'all. And but him still saying like, I've been so interested in you from the beginning. And it's like, yeah, prove it.
You sure about that, buddy?
I don't know.
So I
like, we know he was interested in her at first, but did that persist?
He was attracted to her strongly, as he said. So I have a theory that the lion is now out of the cage with this revelation in the playroom. I think they both their libidos and their attraction and their love and their doki dokis were going pitter patter, doka doka doka, in a cage kind of for 16 fucking weeks. And there's a rack of lamb outside just out of reach tormenting them, which is their love for each other. And now the cage has been opened and the lions are going to come out. And they're going to ravage that meat together. And they're going to ravage each other. Now, I think this is going to get into some primal love, lust stuff happening here right away.
Wait, is the lamb sex or the bed?
It's the sex, I think. Okay. In my metaphor.
I think. That was a very extended metaphor. Like, you just kept going.
But you know what I mean? Like, you're tempted. Like, I think they're like, all right, what am I going to do? I don't know. Now they got the green light. Boom. They're off to the races, and it's going to be hot and heavy, I think.
I counter posit. I think they're going to maybe they're going to go on that drinks date, see where things go. But I don't think it's going to work out even if they try.
Oh,
because dark. At this point, they've been together for 16 weeks as friends. A little bit of tension, but mostly as friends. And now it's like trying to flip that switch. And it's a little bit weird because it's like, wait, this is Cowdy, like my friend. And this is Shohei.
From Shohei's side, you mean? You think Shohei's going to think of her just a friend?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to
see that.
Of her too much as a friend. Like, this is the person I can fight in. This is Goody Two Shoes Cowdy. Like, I can't go forward with this.
I respect you too much.
I could just go on
Tinder.
Yeah, I could see Shohei maybe rejecting her a little bit. But, like, it's been building up for weeks now. Like, Shohei is high on Kaori's mind pretty much every episode for, like, the last 3 or 4.
He's the one that nearly got away.
He's the one for her.
He's still mine.
In her mind right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, every time they interact, they're relatively chummy. But I really don't feel like I have much to go off of. Like to feel very strongly one way or the other and how this is going to go. You know?
Yeah, it's that chumminess that makes me think Shohei sees her too much as a friend. But that's just me. That's just me. You know,
I mean, yeah. I joke about the hot and heavy a little bit, but I can see it also fizzling. I don't want it to. I would love for them to fall in love because I like them as a couple. It started friggin' what? Episode 1. You know,
literally
so
it's
been,
one.
Yeah, it's been building up forever, so slowly. So I would love to see them get together, start dating, and leave together and be a couple. That would be like the happy ending here for me. We'll see.
I mean, I'd be okay with it. I'm just basically my thoughts can be summed up as hell if I know. Well, I'm just gonna see what happens.
Nice. All right. Let's find out.
I don't like Shohei with the idea of Shohei with any of the other two girls, and I'm not really into the idea of Kyrie and Pepe. I mean, it's okay, but definitely not Ruka, right?
Are you telling me you hope Shohei doesn't get together with that girl that he insists smells good? He insists she smells good.
Yeah, I don't see that being a good couple. I see this being I like Shohei and I like Kyrie together. And I always kind of have.
Fair enough. I say with that, though, let's bring this episode to a close so we can finally go and watch episode 17 and find out all of our predictions were wrong. Probably. That's just how it works. But if you have any questions, comments, theories, anything you think we missed from episode 16, you can let us know via email at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. And we are also running a contest. Colin, do you want to tell the lovely folks about that contest?
Yes, sir. So, hey, all you lovely people out there, have you ever been out and about and you're like, oh man, I wish I had a pair of headphones on me right now. Oh man, I wish the headphones that I did have didn't have a wire on them. Well, we might have the thing for you. If you go on iTunes and leave us an iTunes review, you will be entered in to win a pair of brand new AirPods Pros. Or if you don't want those darn AirPods, we'll give you an Amazon gift card instead. Equal value. All you have to do is go on to iTunes, leave us a review, and let us know via social or email with your username to make sure we get you marked down. We will let you know who the winner is at some point in the future.
Make sure it's a written review on iTunes, please. Thank you very much.
On Apple Podcasts.
Don't just hit the stars, write words, write a screen name, and then tell us what it is.
Yes. And if you're thinking about it, just do it. Don't even think about it, because then you won't have to think about it later.
Yeah.
That's all now.
Don't wait.
We just want to save you from thinking later.
We want to give you some AirPod Pros, okay? Let us give them to you.
Do it. Take them.
Yeah.
Give Tim Cook more money.
We have so many here. We need to get rid of at least one. So that's what we're doing.
We're drowning in AirPod Pros.
Get these out of here.
I saw a GIF of it was a bunch of AirPods being rolled into a vat of clear slime.
Ooh, what? Why?
Uh-huh.
For no reason.
Oh no.
DIY.
It was Jell-O? Posted on r/headphones on Reddit as like kids these days. Their damn slime and their damn AirPods.
What the fuck? Okay. That's a good way to go out.
We wouldn't do that to the AirPods we will send you, but we won't stop you from doing that for whatever ungodly reason.
They're gonna be brand new and sealed, and then after they're in the mail, it's your problem now.
Yeah, it's your problem after that. But yeah, that's about it. It's a pretty simple contest, and there you go. We will be back next Tuesday with our coverage of episode 17. This is not a place to slack.
Whoa.
I'm gonna be honest.
Wait, did they get in a fight on Slack?
This is the thing. I think it's about Ruka.
Yes.
But I also think it's about workplace solutions Slack. It needs to be to slack off, right? Not just to slack.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely isn't about Microsoft Teams.
We'll
tell
find
you
out,
that much.
Guys. All this corporate fucking sponsorship is driving me crazy. So I have to leave right now so I can go watch this episode. Please let me out of here. I'm going to go watch it right now.
I want to go watch episode 17. And we'll be back next Tuesday. This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itadakimasu.
Follow us on Instagram at Tadaimagram, on Twitter at Tadaimapod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.